Thank you for listening to the Pentecostals of West Houston podcast, where we are spirit-filled and spirit-led. Join us live at powh.org.
If you have your Bibles, let's turn to the book of 2 Kings. 2 Kings, the third chapter. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version, the ESV version. You can read along in King James or whatever you may have there with you, or whatever they will put on the screens. But I'll be reading from verse 16 through 19 out of 2 Kings, the third chapter. The Bible said, "And he said, thus says the Lord, I will make this dry stream bed full of pools. For thus says the Lord, ye shall not see wind or rain, but the stream bed shall be filled with water, so that you shall drink, you, your livestock, and your animals. This is a light thing in the sight of the Lord. He will also give the Moabites into your hand, and you shall attack every fortified city and every choice city, and shall fell every good tree and stop up all springs of water and ruin every good piece of land with stones." Interesting set of verses here in 2 Kings 3, 16 through 19. Look back with me once again. He said, "I will make this dry stream bed full of pools. For thus saith the Lord, you shall not see wind or rain, but the stream bed shall be filled with water." I like how definite the writer is, and just how absolute the scripture is in the circumstance that was unfolding here. That it feels one way, it appears one way, it seems one way, it looks one way, but be assured that it will work out just like I want it to. Amen. And so let me preach for a little while tonight in the absence of evidence. In the absence of evidence. God bless you. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. I mentioned a little earlier that I flew in today from Colorado, and I travel in and out of Denver quite often and find myself at the airport a couple of times a month, three or four times a month. And this morning was no different. I boarded my flight, and the individual that came and sat beside me on the flight made mention as we were about to taxi out that the weather was changing and a fog had come in, and it was a bit cold and somewhat icy, and in times like that we're just accustomed to the plane being de-iced and the process of needing to prepare for the flight that was ahead, and we come in and out of there often, and most of the time a pilot will come on the intercom, or a flight attendant will say to us as we're approaching the city that the pilot has asked us to sit down. The pilot has asked the flight attendants to take their seats early, so we will be coming through the cabin and collecting all of the drinks and trash, and so we will be taking our seat 20, 30 minutes early. This will conclude our service because of the weather or because of something that may be unexpected. It seems like when you fly in and out of Denver, most of the time you're going to encounter turbulence. Most of the time you will feel the jarring, the jumping, and it's interesting because when we get on a flight, I just kind of enjoy the ride, and my wife prays through every time. And it's a good thing. I know that all I have to do is take her on a trip, and she's good to go if the Lord were to come back, because she prays through on the flight time and time again because of the turbulence that most of the time you're going to encounter. The wind will pick up and rain will begin to fall, and you take off and land in all kinds of weather. A few months ago, we landed in the midst of a storm, and I have traveled for many, many years and flown all over the world and been a lot of places, and I would say it was one of the top three most interesting flights that I had been on, and people around me were praying and crying and holding on to one another and doing whatever they needed to do to try to face the reality that this may be the last flight we take. And I just looked out the window and was taking pictures of the clouds and the lightning and the rain and all the stuff that was going on. I think people thought I was crazy, but that's just the way it is. Nothing you can do now. You better be ready because you're not going to change the situation. I encounter storms, and I had a friend that texted me the next day, and he said he's a pilot, and we grew up together here in the city, and he sent me a screenshot. He texted me a screenshot of his radar, the radar that from the night before, and he said, tracking all of the flights and all of the planes about the very time I was landing, and he said, I just wanted to show you what you were landing in last night. So he sent it to me, and we talked back and forth, and it was an interesting storm. Storms come, they show up. And here's what's interesting about living there is in the summer there's a lot of hail storms. People think, oh, there's snow and it's always cold, but we get a lot of hail storms. In fact, in the last 8 years, we've had to replace our roof two different times, and windows and screens and beading around that and fences and all, because of the amount of hailstorms that we get. So insurance adjusters and storm chasers, they love our part of the country. They come and set up, and our cars have been damaged. Every one of our cars have been damaged, and our house has been damaged, and it's part of where we live. You guys get floods, you guys get hurricanes, you guys get all kinds of other things. We have our own set of storms that come through. And I found in all of that, that if you lose sight, if you somehow get caught up in the moment and the surroundings, the moment and the surroundings will put you in a place, a disadvantage, if I can say that. If I thought every time about the reality that this may be one of those flights, I'd never go to the airport. If I thought, you know, I'm going to have to deal with a roof on my home being replaced every few years and thousands of dollars of damage to my car every few years, and all, if you start thinking about the situations, It will strike fear in your heart, cause you to second guess where you live and what you do and what. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Amen. In this chapter that we read out of 2 Kings 3, we discover that there is a dilemma that has developed. And this dilemma that has developed is now leading the man of God to a place where he needs a divine intervention. He needs God to show up or the situation that had developed would literally be the end of this man of God and the people of God of sorts. So we started reading where there's this directive coming from God, but what led to that was a dilemma that put the man of God in a challenging situation where he really wasn't sure how it was all going to work out. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Verse 5 says, but when Ahab died, the king of Moab rebelled against the king of Israel. It was in a time where there was change, like I was talking about earlier. A change had come. Ahab is no longer in authority. Ahab is no longer in charge. You know, whatever your challenges are in life, if you have dealt with them for a certain amount of time, you kind of can get to the place where you're accustomed to what you're dealing with. You're knowledgeable of what you're dealing with. You know how to move through and around and deal with the circumstance. But when that one's gone and something new happens, then you have to learn all over again. And so they knew where Ahab was. They knew what kind of man he was. They knew what they could do and get by with and adjust to. But now Ahab is gone. And the king of Moab has no alliance now, or no appreciation, or no boundaries of sorts. And he decides, this is a moment when I can step in and take over and claim authority that I would not have been able to as long as Ahab was alive. And so Moab rebels now against the king of Israel. A new sheriff in town, but they didn't really care who he was. We see an opportunity here. And on the heels of this change of leadership and oversight and authority, there was an uprising. How many knows what happens on your job when one boss leaves and before the next one gets there or somebody shows up? It's just like folks want to test that authority. There's an uprising. Well, I thought so-and-so, or something in the family happens, and now that it's the same situation that's taking place right here. There's an uprising, and they're trying now to take over in authority. And it came to Israel in the form of the Moabites refusing to fulfill their obligation. They had an obligation to Israel, but when Ahab died, the authority, they decided, we're no longer going to live up to our obligation. We're not staying in our place. We're not going to stay in this place of submission or just leave everything alone. We see a moment where we can take over, and that's what we plan to do. So the Bible says, the king of Israel, verse 9, went with the king of Judah and the king of Edom. And when they had made a kind of a circular march of 7 days, there was no water for the army or for the animals that followed them. So here is what's taking place. The resistance now to the uprising shows up and says, you're not just going to take over without us trying to do something about it. And so this alliance comes together of the king of Israel and of Judah and of Edom, and they rise up to try and put Moab back in their place, the Moabites, from this uprising. And they're on a journey for a number of days, basically walking in circles and encamping the situation to try to quell all of this disobedience and uprising. And so the scripture tells us that after they have done this for about a week, that there was no water for the army. There was no water for the animals. There was no water for them that followed along. In this attempt to right what was wrong and bring back control, this desperation sets in because they cannot go on any longer without water for not only themselves, those that followed, the army, the animals, and they cannot gain control or regain control without the strength to carry on, and they're desperate now. So you see how the story has developed. There is no water for them, and they're now in desperation. Life, it's the life source of what they needed, water. They could not have pressed on without water. They needed this, and it looked impossible. It seemed like we cannot go on any further. See, there's always, no matter how good we're trying to be or what we're trying to step up and control in our lives, can I tell you that you will never be able to do it on your own? And at the moment that you think, I'll gather Judah and I'll gather Edom and I'll get four or five people with me and I'll get a bunch of people on my side and then I'll fix this situation, how many knows that there sometimes in life it doesn't matter how many people you get involved, you'll never be able to do it on your own. And this is where Israel finds themselves. They've gathered these armies together, a trio of armies, to put Moab in their place, and now they find themselves without the strength to go on because they have no life source, no water. Don't ever think you can do it by yourself. There will always be the need of an outside source. You may gather your physical strength and your human ingenuity, but you're going to need a source that goes beyond what a man can produce or what a woman can produce or what a united front of family members or friends can produce. I need an outside source, and what they needed was water, but there was no water for them. Not only those folks, but you and I cannot go at life alone. We can't survive without an outside source. We can't make it without somebody shout, heaven's help. I need heaven's help. I may have put some people together. I may have gathered some physical strength. I may have encouraged an army to join with me. But I need more than an army. I need a river. Amen. I need something that goes beyond what man can do. I need something that goes beyond what an individual can do. They needed a river. And so the Bible says in verse number 11, Jehoshaphat said, is there no prophet? Is there no prophet of the Lord here? Someone that we may inquire of the Lord through? Is there not someone who can hear from God? Is what Jehoshaphat is saying. Then one of the king of Israel's servant, he answered. He said, Elisha, you're asking if there's anyone that can touch heaven or hear from God. I know a man. His name is Elisha. He was the guy that poured water on the hands of Elijah. He was the man that saw miraculous things. He was the man that served someone who heard from God on a consistent basis. Jehoshaphat said, the word of the Lord is with him. Is there anybody? And this servant said, Elisha's not far away. The word of the Lord is with him. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to him. So they are desperate. Remember, their army cannot survive. Their animals cannot survive. Those that followed them could not survive. And someone said, is there not a man of God? Is there not someone around that can hear what God says about this situation? Is there anyone that can get in touch with him? And so one man says, yes, I know someone. And now they decide to go and inquire of him. Let me emphasize this for a moment. We always need someone in our life that can hear from God. Come on, you ought to help me for a moment. When we don't know what to do on our own, and we don't know how to get through it on our own, and when we are faced with dilemmas and desperate situations, don't ever forget that God has somebody nearby that can hear from Him. Amen. And when you can't see it for yourself and you can't hear it for yourself, thank God for somebody who can hear from the Lord, someone who is connected to Him, someone, as we see here, that has already sacrificed in their life. The Bible said, yeah, that there's a man who poured water on the prophet of God's hands. There's a man that knows what serving. There's a man that knows what sacrificing. There is a man that knows what it's like to be in the presence of God and doing that without expecting anything in return. Somebody with the only word, shout, that matters. Said the word of the Lord is with him. Somebody that has the only word that really matters. Because family will say one thing and friends will say another thing. But I want to hear from someone who has the Word of God in their life. I want to hear from someone that the Word of God is with when I'm in desperate times in my life. Desperate times. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You know that verse, don't you? One of these highlighted verses of Scripture, and really a staple, should be a staple in the life of every succeeding Christian, is this verse of faith. It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Many times people fall short when they look at this verse. They fall short when they try to put the verse into practice in their lives. God help us to understand that in the absence of evidence, when it looks like nothing's going to change and nothing's going to get better and no way I'm coming out of this, that somebody will step into my life and begin to declare a word of faith over me, that it doesn't matter what I'm going through, faith is the evidence that I need. Faith is the substance that I need when nothing else is going to work. Amen. And so if we realize the massive privilege, touch your neighbor and say, privilege. It's a privilege that has been afforded us. We would certainly start utilizing this game changer. Amen. Faith has the potential of putting things that are out of sorts in our life into proper perspective. Faith causes you to see the situation that you're in, but instead of giving up, faith causes you to hold on. When everything is working against you and everything is just looks like it's going to be the ruin of you, faith says, I'm going to trust God right now. I'm going to hold on to Him right now. I'm going to believe that God can step in and bring proper perspective when everything looks out of sort in my life. We have circumstances. Everybody under the sound of my voice right now has circumstances going on in our lives. there are circumstances that are happening that literally, literally can provide defeat. Circumstances that we're facing, it could mean defeat, it could mean the loss of a job, the loss of a family, the loss of our health, the loss of finances. Everybody here has something going on. And the potential of loss is real. They were facing the loss of animals and armies and followers. Death was what it looked like because there was no water to sustain them to go on. Sometimes the circumstances of life put you in a situation that if something drastic doesn't happen and it doesn't happen quickly, you can't go on one more day. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Amen. So he said, when they visited him, when they got to where the man of God was, and they brought their circumstance to him, they find this Elisha, and when they get to him, he says, "Thus saith the Lord, I will make this dry stream bed full of pools." But there's no moisture, there's no precipitation, there's no photosynthesis going on, there isn't a wind there. He said it, you will not see wind, you will not see rain, but that stream bed shall be filled with water. My God, I love it when you get the right word in your life. When you start hearing the right word in your life that says the circumstances look one way, but God says, but I'm in charge of this situation, and that stream bed will have water in it. You're not going to see wind. Listen, when you live where I live, you can look west because the storm stream, I guess you could say, the wind, the currents, the way it works is it comes from the west most of the time. Some of the time it kind of comes from the northwest, and it begins to cloud up over the Rocky Mountains, which are just to the west of us, and you can see those tall mountains and peaks, and you can see storms developing way over where the mountains are, and you can tell if it's snow. Oh, it's snowing in the mountains, and before long it gets closer and it begins to roll in, and you may feel the temperature drop and the winds start to pick up a little bit, and you can see it way in the distance, snow, rain. He said, you're not seeing anything. You will look west toward the Rockies and stand on dry ground, and you won't see a storm cloud. You won't feel one bit of wind. Nothing that says it's changing. It will just change. Sometimes we want to see it start changing. We want to observe it's coming my way. And he said there are some circumstances in your life where you won't see one thing changing. You'll look at the situation and say, it's not getting any better. They're no more open today than they were 10 years ago. My Lord, if anything, it's getting worse. He said, you won't see wind and you won't see rain, but that stream bed will have water in it. My God, help us to understand that when he steps in, it doesn't have to happen like you and I think it ought to happen. Well, they need to come back and they need to apologize and they need to show. Listen, he said, when I start working, you're not even going to see the things you think you need to see for it to change. I mean, you have difficulties in life and with people, and you want to see them at least show up on the job and smile at you. Or not cut you off in the parking lot. Or I don't know. He said, no, they're going to keep cutting you off. They're going to keep ignoring you. They're going to keep turning their back on you. You're going to go to the doctor again, and it's going to be the same bad report as it was last time. The bill you couldn't pay a month ago, you're not going to be able to pay this month either. But we think next month it's going to get better. If I can just get one day better than the day before. I mean, I preach all that stuff. I love all that. But there are circumstances where today is no better than yesterday. And your situation is no greater today than it was 6 months ago. But and you're holding on with your last bit of strength. And he says, don't think you're going to see it start happening. He said, but hear me, there's going to be water in that dry bed. Hallelujah. Well, I just want to see the flood start coming. I want to see the clouds start developing. I want to feel that little wind that we start. Well, like people say, I can smell it when it rains. You're not going to smell nothing, see nothing, feel nothing. It's going to be more cold, dry, dreary, depressing, overwhelming, confusing. Somebody ought to help the preacher for a moment. He said, but that stream bed shall be filled with water so that you shall drink, you, your livestock, and your animals. And then I love what the prophet said. This is a light thing in the sight of the Lord. You thought it was the biggest, baddest, greatest trial you ever went through. And he just says, that ain't no big deal. That ain't no big deal. Why are you so worried about this? But they said cancer, and he said, that ain't no big deal. Well, they said, it doesn't matter how qualified you are. He said, that ain't no big deal. They said, I will never, never, never come back. That ain't no big deal. I will never have that conversation. That ain't no big deal. Come on, it's a light thing. When you start dealing with him, your situation that seems so big and so great, he just looks at it and says, I can take care of that without even breaking a sweat. I can take care of that without even exerting much energy. That's a light thing in my eyes. But we're talking about three armies. We're talking about three kings. We're talking about a bunch of livestock. He said, no big deal. It's a light thing. He said, he will also give the Moabites into your hand. The ones that were rising up saying, I see an opportunity to take over. He said, no, they're not taking over. You're going to just step up into more authority than what you had before. Let the devil lie. Let the devil do what he wants to. He's not going to win. He's not going to win. He said, I will give the Moabites into your hand, and you shall attack every fortified city. They think they're strong. They think they're protected. They think nothing's ever going to change. He said, you will attack their cities, every choice city, and fell every good tree, cut down every one of their good trees, and stop up all their springs of water, and ruin every good piece of land with stones. You're going to just carry stones into that place they're trying to plow and say, well, your plow ain't going to work here. They just put stones in the good land. No harvest coming in. God said, when I step in, your enemy will wish he never had opened his mouth, never had raised up to say. He's going to step in and take authority. Come on, when God starts working in our life, things change, and they change in a drastic way. I say they change however challenging your circumstance is and how drastic and great it feels to you. When God gets through, it's going to be even more trying to your enemy than it was to you. So if you're under it right now, think about what the poor old devil's about to go through. If you've been dealing with heaviness and stuff, think about what God's about to do to him when he just takes that load off of you and he lays it on your enemy and said, no, you're not going any farther. There will be water in that stream bed, and you will drink, and your livestock will drink, and everybody here will drink, and I'm going to put them in your control. You're taking over their cities. You're moving in. Does this excite you on Wednesday night? Come on. It looked so impossible, and he just said, That's a light thing. You walked in here thinking, my marriage is impossible. My kids are impossible. This health situation is impossible. This bill and debt load is impossible. God said, no, it isn't. He just sent me all the way from Colorado to tell you He's able to take care of your situation. And no matter how big it is right now or how great it feels right now, God can go to work. How can a dry stream bed flow with water? How can that happen? God. Tell your neighbor, say, God. How does my situation change? God. How does my life take on a new level? God. See, the key is believing the word of God when it is declared over you. The prophet said, God said, this is what's going to happen. But if you get the word, you better believe the word that's declared over you and not allow unbelief and your circumstance to keep saying, well, what about this and what about that and how come when and what are you going to do? Why don't you just take the word and say, I believe it. I don't need to know when. I don't need to know how. I'm not asking any more questions. If that word is declared over my life, then I'm standing on it right now. It's been revealed to me and I'm not pushing the envelope anymore. I trust God. He will do it in His time and in His way, and I don't need all the details. Come on, faith cannot be left out of the equation. So think about it. When he says, you will not see wind and you will not see rain, then in the absence of evidence, when he says, no wind, evidence, no rain, evidence, you won't see it. Well, what do you do then? Faith. You just grab a hold of faith and say, he said there is no evidence, but faith is the evidence. Faith is the evidence when there is no evidence. It happens. If you decide at that moment, this is the word declared over my life, and the only way it's going to come about is if I have faith to believe it in the face of how far-fetched and impossible it seems. He said, you won't see anything in that dry bed. You won't see or feel the wind or verb the cloud. It ain't happening. But water's going to be there. And they had to say, I believe it. My faith is in that. God's going to do it somehow. That's what's been declared, and I hold on to it. No wind, no rain, yet water. Hallelujah. Water is there. But he said, there won't be an ounce of evidence for you. So faith is the very source of your answer. Whatever it is you walked in here with, faith is the one thing that becomes the source of your answer. Say, well, I don't know if I can believe anymore. I challenge you to believe just one more time. I don't know if I can just hold on and just, I encourage you, don't give up right now. Jesus, you know what Jesus prayed? He looked at Simon Peter, and he said, Simon, I prayed for you that your faith, because it's going to be rough, it will be tough, it will be challenging, it will look impossible, but I prayed that in the midst of your circumstance, that your faith wouldn't fail, because when you see me hanging and you see people fleeing and everything is turned upside down in your world, I pray that your faith will keep you when there is no evidence that it's going to get better. I pray that your faith would not fail. When you're tested, don't let your faith fail. When you're tried, don't let your faith fail. When you come under attack, don't let your faith fail. When you feel abandoned, don't let your faith fail. When everybody has deserted you, don't let your faith fail. Hold on to that faith and knowing that He... Think about it for a moment. Jesus could have prayed for anything He wanted to. He could have called and talked about and prayed for many things concerning Simon Peter's life. And the one thing He said to him that He would pray for in the most difficult, challenging, trying circumstances of His life was, I pray that your faith doesn't fail. Come on. I know what it's like. I know what it's like to bury my loved ones. And at the same time, believe that the same sickness that took them, God can still heal that sickness if He chooses to. I know what it's like to bury the loved ones and say, the devil try to say, don't ever mention healing there because it didn't happen. You know what? The devil is a liar. Don't let your faith fail when attack comes on your home and comes in your family and comes in your life. Hold on to your faith and say, I know. What did those Hebrew boys say when they were telling them, you better bow, you better surrender right now. You're going to the furnace. It's going to be bad for you when you hear the sound. You better bow. They said, listen, I'm not sure how it's all going to work out, but I do know this. God is able. God is able. Throw me in if you need to. He can choose what He'll do in the situation, but I'm not backing away that He's able to handle it. He's able to fix it. He's able to take care of it. Don't let your faith fail. Tell somebody beside you, don't let your faith fail. Amen. And so the question is asked in the scripture that I think is one of the most important and revealing questions of all of scripture. Simply says this, will he find faith? So, well, God's looking for this and God's looking for that and God's observing the other, and in my life God wants to see this and God wants to see that, and He, you know what the Bible said He wants to find? Faith. Will he find faith in the earth? If you can't get anything else right in your life, please get this right. Because He's looking for people of faith. People who will just believe Him in spite of the circumstance. Just trust Him when there is no evidence. It's what He looks for more than anything else. And if you lose everything else, hold on to your faith. Everything in your world might shake and rock and crumble, but hold on to your faith. It's the one thing that you and I cannot sacrifice. No matter what anyone else says or does, I'm going to hold on to my faith no matter what it looks like in my life. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? It doesn't matter right now, and I say that in a kind way. It does not matter what appears to be stopping you. So you could say sickness or financial struggle or career or family or bouquet. You can name what. It really doesn't matter what that valley of dryness is to you. What matters is that you know the one who can change it. See, we get so caught up in the circumstance, we forget the one who can change the circumstance. We talk about how sick, how bad, how broke, how mad, how violent, how upset, how busted up. We talk about all of that and never give God any time or credit in it. When we ought to stop talking about all that and start talking about how great our God is. He's the one that can change the circumstance. He's the one that can turn the situation around. He's the one that can move no matter how impossible it is. My perspective has to be altered, amen. And when it's altered, it will reveal that God is bigger and God is greater than any circumstance in my life. I'm just trying to get you on Wednesday night to put your eyes on Him. I'm trying to get you to forget about the wind and forget about the rain and forget about the valley and forget about the dry stream bed and just start looking to the one that said there will be water in that bed and you will drink from it and your life will be sustained and your life will be turned around. And the amazing thing is, it's an easy thing for God. So in the absence of evidence, there's faith. And I pray that tonight, whatever you're facing, I pray that you are facing it with faith. Because if you're not facing it with faith, that circumstance will most likely be your demise. Let's stand together. How many have been in the church 10 years? Let me see your hand. How many have been around church, in the church, 20 years? Let me see your hand. Let's go on up, 30 years. I see folks with two hands up. 40 years. If you've been around 40 years, then you have to know what you have to understand this. When I was a boy growing up, they used to sing a little song that went like this. Faith, 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 just a little bit of faith. Faith, 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 just a little bit of faith. You don't need a whole lot, just use what you got. Faith, 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 just a little bit of faith. We grew up and they sang it to us, they preached it to us, they taught it to us, they exemplified it before us, and we lived every day with an understanding that no matter what happens in your life, no matter what's going on in your body, no matter what the surrounding circumstances are, if you have faith, God will show up and God will bring you through it and God will work in your situation and God will turn it around. I'm preaching to you that faith can change your situation tonight. 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 I gotta pray for some folks. Anybody in this place, just say, I'm ready for change on Wednesday night. If you are, get out of those chairs and get up here as quickly as you can. I gotta pray over some folks that are saying, I'm holding on tonight because I believe God. I see folks moving this way. I know God is going to turn this situation. I don't need to know how. I don't need to know when. I don't have to have all of the details. I'm just going to bring my faith tonight and say, God, I trust you with it. God, I put it in your hands. God, I believe you're going to work it out. God, I know there's nothing too hard for you. I feel the Holy Ghost here right now. I feel the Holy Ghost in this place right. Anybody feel? You sense what I sense? Go ahead and just lift your hands to Him. I feel strength in this house right now. I feel a touch of the Spirit in this place right now. I sense that someone's faith is being lifted to Him right now. You walked in here in a storm. You walked in here in a trial. You walked in here with a dilemma. You came in here with heaviness. You came in here wondering, and God right now is lifting you. Lord, right now, in the name of Jesus, I plead your blood over every man. I plead your blood over every woman. I plead your blood over every young person, every student, every child, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I know right now there is...
Thank you for listening. To find out more about our church, visit powh.org.